hung his head and died.
Talking about the Lord.
I am feeling so
thinking about the Lord.
So
let's go on, let's go on, talking about His good old way. Let's go on, let's go on, talking about the Lord.
I am feeling
so much better,
talking
about this good old way.
I'm feeling so much better,
talking about the Lord. Let's go on, let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, let's go on, talking about the Lord.
Amen. You know, it is nothing but the blood.
The blood did it all.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about faith. You know, it takes faith to have a revelation. It takes faith to see this message. Faith is a gift from God. Faith is a revelation. You know, and faith in this word, faith in this revelation, you know, it holds you through everything. You know, let the storms come, let the clouds get dark, let terrible things happen. You know, in our house, a lot of stuff has happened in the last couple of weeks. A lot of stuff. But you know what's held us through it all? It's this revelation, this word. You know, when it's dark, and I always say this, 2 o'clock in the morning. You wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, the devil tries to talk to you, tries to tell you things. But you tell him, get behind me.
Right.
Satan, you are defeated. Get back in the dark where you belong. I am light. I am light, and I drive out all darkness. You know, it takes a revelation to say, I and my Father are one. You know, when you hear me speak, this is God speaking to you. This is the word of the Lord coming to the assembly. Don't take it lightly. Have faith. Have faith in everything you do. Just operate that gift. I just thank God for everything.
Must be the message this morning. Have faith in God. We were just talking about it out there. Let us believe Him. Whatever He says, believe it. You know, I try to practice believing. I just want my belief stronger.
Amen.
I want to believe it with all in me. Amen. And that's what He wants, really. You know, if you can believe Him, you can satisfy Him.
Amen.
He pleased with you.
Impossible.
If you believe His word.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, He's very pleased with you.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Let's just believe Him.
Amen.
It's not a hard thing to do.
Just
let's believe. Go around the house. Just say, I believe it. Satan,
believe.
As John says, Satan, get behind me. I believe it. If He said it,
that's right.
That's good
not
enough.
A liar.
Amen. I believe everything it says.
Oh,
God bless you all.
Amen.
I am so grateful to be here. There is no place like this place. And you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I'm grateful that He put that seed in me because it can only do one thing, and that's believe.
That's right.
And I want to sing this for Brother James today through it all.
Yes.
Because he came out from his surgery singing that, and I want to believe that with all
Amen.
My heart. No matter what we go through in this life, through it all, He brings
through
us
it
through.
All.
Amen. Brother Morgan, you know what key I sing that in?
It says key of F in the book.
Amen.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There've been times I
don't know right from wrong,
but
in every situation,
God gave
me blessed consolation.
That my
trials come
to
only make me strong.
That's why I'm singing through
it all.
I'm singing
through it all.
to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all. Through it all. I've learned. The storms he's brought me through.
Oh, for I never had a problem.
I never know God could solve them. I never know what faith in his word could do.
Brother Caleb.
Through. Trust in God through it all. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word.
Say it again.
Oh, through it all.
I was in there and I was listening to service last time, and I was like, I wish I was there so I could walk with Sister Christy, but I'm here today and I can walk with Sister Renee, and God just like come and walk with me, and it's just a blessing to be here. And I'm just thankful that even though some people hear a thunder, I hear the voice of God talking directly to me, and I take this thing serious, and I love this place, I love everyone in here, and I'm just happy to be here and be a part of it.
Amen. God is dependent on the believers, and we're the voice of God, the final voice to the final age. We pull strength from one another, and at such a time as this. You know, last week I was feeling a little old, and he knows just what to say to you, and he knows just when to say it. And he reminded me, you know, you have to constantly remind yourself who you are and why we're here, and we don't have a testimony of defeat. No. Oh, no. We're here. We are overcomers. We're here to get the job done. And at just a time as this, we're on the earth to fulfill the word of God and to do what we are the word of God. So you don't know what a day holds. Nothing is promised to you. And the older I get, I said, if I'm ever going to do anything for God, if I'm ever going to get it right, it's time to get it right now. I don't come before you saying I've done it perfect. I think I did a terrible job. But yet, he chose me. He chose me to do it. Amen. Nobody else can do your job. Nobody else can do it like you do it. I'm ordained.
I don't care what you say, Satan.
Come on.
I don't care what you say,
Come
Satan.
On.
I am the Word of God.
That's
it. Right. So, being in the house of God, ain't no way I'm going to sit here with all this word and all these believers and not get some strength. And you better believe, if I got something to throw in, I'm going to throw it in. Because it's like a campfire. You know, you just throw some wood on it, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then all are blessed by the heat that goes through.
That's right.
We're going to play. You know, they hate me. Because I didn't do this for nothing. You know, everybody has a job, and I'm going to be doing my job. So we're going to play. They hate me because she looks at me every day with fear. Amen. We're going to play What a Fellowship with a Joy Divine. Because I came to lift up his name. I need some strength. You overcome by the word of your testimony. You don't say nothing. You ain't going to get nothing. You know, it looks like I'm helping you, and I might be helping you, but I'm helping myself. Okay, we're going to get out of the way.
Amen.
Give me a minute. We'll be all right.
Oops, did I turn it on? It might not be on.
past week, I've been with some people that, you know, they're friends or family or whatever, but they don't know what I know. And I found myself this morning just feeling tired, like just the weight of the world. I can't even imagine what Pastor feels like or Jesus when he was here. My goodness. But that's why the prescription is to get to the house, because I already feel so much better. God is going to take care of all of that stuff. And that's just thankful to be here.
Amen, Renee.
I'm so happy to be here right now, and I just you know, it's a dogfight to get up in here, you know. Brother Caleb hit me with the double song in the beginning, so I'm like, oh, so you gotta just be patient, you know, and you know, gotta open up opportunity if your heart's willing, you know. But I wanted to give a praise report, because a couple of services ago I came up and got a prayer cloth. Mm-hmm. And I didn't say anything about it, and I'm glad I didn't, because last service Pastor preached, he said, Satan hears you too.
Yeah.
And it's really, really been working on me. But I wanted to give this praise report, because a buddy of mine was expecting to have his first son. And they were just talking about, you know, they had the baby had heart complications, you know, during the pregnancy. They had, you know, issues with the aorta and stuff like that. And that the baby was just, you know, it'd be a miracle if he made it. And I like how God does things, because he stacks it to be so impossible that man can't figure it out. And I knew right away, okay, they're casting their cares to the right person. They didn't tell anybody else. They just told me and Beth. And it's just like, what's on the inside of a person is going to identify what's on the inside of us. And then they'll cast their cares upon us, because we know where to bring it. So that prayer cloth, she held on to that prayer cloth all the way through the pregnancy, took it with her, and it was her faith that activated that thing. So I have faith all day long, but according to your faith is what's going to unlock that blessing. And so the baby came out, no complications. Was in NICU, and they couldn't figure it out. And I know how that works. And, you know, it's just, it's children's bread, you know. It's ours. The healing's ours. The blessings are ours. But, you know, I don't rejoice because of those things. I rejoice because I see my name in the book. You know, so I just wanted to give God the praise that's due this morning. And I wanted to sing a song, because he's so, so worthy. You don't even have a testimony without a test. I've been tried. I've been tested. Satan's thrown his best at me this week, and I'm still here. Still here saying, God's been good to me. He's been so good. I got a minister down. I got things that ain't going my way, but God's still been good. He's still been good to me. He's still helping me overcome. He walks, talks, and does through this vessel. And I am so happy. And I just want to praise him. I'm going to need the key of Covey, because I need this to be good, because he's just so worthy.
All right.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power my soul.
Savior God. Savior God to
Michelle, you'll be the last one.
I just want to stand up here and say, to God be the glory. Yeah. It is all well with my soul. Yeah. You know, and I'm just so thankful to be here. I'm so thankful for this revelation that leads and guides us. Amen. You know, Pastor Moore, you know, you said something a couple of weeks ago at the job. He said, oh, Lord. You said a couple of weeks ago you were talking to Keisha, and Keisha was like, hey, Pastor Moore, blah, 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 blah. And he said, yeah, Sister Michelle can stand up in front of the church and say that. And I was like, no, I don't think so. And so I changed it. I was like, okay, I can stand in front of the church and say that, but I'll do it on a Wednesday when it's not out there. Right. And then Pastor Moore's like, okay, but I did give you permission. And so then the other part to this is, as I'm standing here, Grace, say this statement, what came to me is what Pastor Moore said. He said, I put it on to go out to the world because we are real people with real problems. And I don't want to hide this. God is amazing.
Yes.
He is doing it. You know, pray for my family. Not just pray in general, be intentional. Pray for that liver. Pray for James' recovery. Pray for Sister Courtney. Pray for Sister Jada. Pray for Brother Jonathan. You know, as this hour need. Pray for his brothers. You know, I'm seeing them boys hit the ground words can't express. You know, a love for a brother. That they will give their own lives, to sacrifice their own lives to take care of their brother and their brother's children. So I'm so thankful. Pray for my family. Pray for my mother. Pray for my sisters now, because this is hard. Amen. This is hard because James is the oldest grandchild. And James's words are like E.F. Hutton. If James say something, they all get in line. And for that to be silent, they're all scrambling. So I just want you guys to pray intentionally and pray for each other intentionally. Amen. There's a different way to pray. It's not in general. It's like, oh, pray for Sister Belinda. What does Sister Belinda need? Let's do that. You know, without judgment, without anything, just a sincere prayer that this is my sister. You know, this is my brother. With that said, I'm going to say we're going to need help. We're going to need help with these businesses. Both businesses are on the line because now it's becoming a family business. That's right. You know, so what I'm not doing at my business, I'm doing at his business. What he was doing for my business, the boys are now kicking in. So, I'm just asking the body, I'm throwing it out there, as Pastor Moore had told me before, we're going to need help. And this is not a sprint, this is a journey. So we're going to need some people at certain times, we're going to need other people at other times. Amen. Also, when I say that, I'm saying, what does it really mean to be in a body? When something hurts on your body, different parts of your body react differently. It doesn't mean that they're not hurt. The whole body feels the hurt. But how you react to it, it will be where you play in the part of that body. You know, if my toe hurt, my hand goes straight down to it, but my heart also is affected. Amen. You know, so I appreciate everybody in the body. I know we all have a part to play. I don't want anybody to feel like if you ask me to do something and you don't get a response right away, it's just not your time to react right now. Doesn't mean that you won't get to react, but it's just not your time right now. So I want to throw that out because I don't want anybody to ever feel offended like, hey, I asked and they don't need me. Well, I might not need you today, but 2 weeks from now, I might need you.
This is going to be a year-long
so
journey.
I just want to throw that out. I want to thank everybody because I know your prayers are with him. I know you guys want to be with him, but you are. You are. We are very well represented in that hospital. We are very well represented as a family. They know you guys love him. They know that you're standing with James. And I just so thankful. Thank you for Brother Moore, the leader that every day, you know, that God in flesh will say
God
a word
flesh.
That will get you through. The prophet said, "This we're done with the spoken word. It's only so far it can take you. Now we need God in flesh
speaking
to you face to face daily that says, I am. I am.
I am.
So I'm so thankful for that. These words are coming. Brother Moore said, take day by day. That's what we're standing on. Courtney and I, every day, we take day by day. The word come forth. We step out on that word. As that light is showing you how to walk, you stand there. And your obedience to walking and standing take you to the next step.
Yes.
You can't miss a step. You got to continue to walk in the light that is given.
Amen.
So I'm just so thankful. So, so thankful. I'm so thankful. I'm so glad.
Yes.
I just give God all the praise and the glory and the honor that he deserves.
Been good.
Because he has done this.
He's done
it
all.
And the words are, and I just want to leave on this note, he has already
done it. Amen.
In page 221 in the courses, his eyes on the sparrow. It's key of A.
I'm ashamed. God rebuked me a little while ago. And I am ashamed. I got up here and talked about believing God, but I forgot to say obey God.
Amen.
It's very important. Before Renee got up to walk around, he had done already told me to do it. That's the second time. Second time. And really dug it in when everybody followed.
God has a way, doesn't he?
So I'm going to have to get up here and repent. Lord, I'm sorry.
We love you, brother.
Forgive me.
God knows.
And allow me to make it right. Because I want the service to go right. You know.
Amen.
If you got something that need to be confessed, hey, it affects the service.
Amen.
Yeah.
So we need to unload.
Unload.
If you got anything that you think God is dealing with you about that he's not pleased, unload it. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I am sorry, and I won't try not to do it again.
Right.
Amen. God
Amen,
bless you
brother.
All.
Amen.
Yeah. 221. It's key of A.
be. And I sing because I'm free.
Jesus, we come before you this morning. We come in thanksgiving for this opportunity to come back to the house of worship one more time. Lord, we're so thankful that you hear us. So thankful that you answer our prayers. So thankful that you move through the body. So thankful that you speak to us. When we're right, you praise us. When we're wrong, you correct us. And Father, we're thankful that we can hear your correction. Lord, we ask you to help us as a body to move forward and move as you move and speak as you speak and to step out on your word as you give it to us, Lord. Father, we're so grateful this morning that you brought us back to the house of worship one more time. So grateful that the body's here and that we can be joined together in the one thing that we love so great, that's your word. Father, we have needs here this morning in the body. Lord, we bring Jay before you this morning again, thanking you for where you brought him from, looking forward to where you're going to bring him to. Lord, we ask you to continue to be with the Earlies and be with, Lord, Sister Judy down in Kentucky and Brother Trevor and different ones that has a need, Clarice and Anna and different ones who has stood up and asked you to move in their behalf. And we're standing waiting on the promises to manifest itself, knowing that, Lord, you are true to your word. And Lord Jesus, ask you to keep those safe that are on the roads and traveling this weekend. Ask you to continue to bless the services here and bless the body here. Lord, we love you and we love to hear your word, and so grateful that we've been able to gather here in this place. Lord, we come and open up the Bible here, but Lord, open our hearts and speak to us this day. Give us this day our daily bread, Father, that we might walk away from this place this morning blessed. So that we could say, Lord, did not our hearts burn within us as we walk with you along the way, as you spoke to us? Speak to us today, Lord. And Lord, let us take the words that you speak and put it to work in our lives. Not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Thank you for all you've done, Father. Help us to be stronger. Help us to be wiser. Help us to choose wisely on the decisions that we make in our lives, that knowing that those decisions affect others. And Lord, let us make the wise decisions, the right decisions, the word-based decisions. Yes. That, Lord, when we step out on whatever we're doing, Lord, that your word is behind it. Amen. We thank you for it all, Father. Have your way this morning. Thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be back in the house of the worship this morning. Good to be home. It's been a busy week. We did the funeral Tuesday morning and then took off after that, trying to get down to Florida. Missed our flight, but ended up staying the night with my niece, so they gained. Our loss was their gain. So I just said, well, I must have been going by way of Kentucky on the way to Florida. So we got down to Florida and got to spend some time with the Earlys, and appreciate them taking us in, and they send their greetings. They always listen into the services, so we want to thank them for their hospitality while we were there, and they're good folk, and good to spend a little time with them. But it's always good to be back home. I'm never really settled when I'm anywhere else until I get back home, and I could feel the stress of Fairborn all the way down to Florida, and I needed to get back home. I was resting all week, but not resting, because my heart was here, and the body is here, and the needs are here, and wherever the needs are, that's where I always want to be, right there in the middle of it. Amen. So it's good to be back home again, because I feel like now I can get back on my job and do what I need to get done. So it was good to be away, but it's good to be back. Now, there's a lot that are out on vacation, different places, different parts of the world. Some are traveling overseas, and some people are in the country, but different parts. But just let's keep them in your prayers for safe travels and to get back to the house. And, you know, we don't have a very large congregation, so we really do miss you when you're not here. And that's good. That's the way families are. But we must carry on with be about our Father's business. And we've got a job to do. I always remind everybody that. I go to visit Jay in the hospital. I remind him of that. I says, we got a job to do. And body, we got a job to do. It's our job to keep this word going forward and keep the word out there and keep the tapes, the services online, and, you know, keep the doors open, keep the place clean. We've got work to do. It's a busy time for us. And if you don't have anything to do, see me. And we can make sure that you have something to do, because there's plenty to go around. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I like that deacon back there. He is like, man, I ain't going to let this go by again. And that's the way it works. You know, when God deals with you, don't hold off. Don't waste no time. Just if you're right, you're right. If you're wrong, you're wrong. The thing about being wrong is you can get right. You can't get any righter than being right. But when you're wrong, you can get right. So I appreciate that God has given us that ability. You know, the brother Branham said the zeal of the hour is to say I'm wrong. And the problem with people today is that they don't admit that they're wrong. They could do something and you know it's wrong, and they won't admit it's wrong, and they'll say it's right, and they'll try to justify it by the word of God or by their own actions or by their own statements. But my Lord, if I'm wrong, Lord, forgive me, you know, and get that off of you, because when you're holding on to that, you can't pick up something else. And if you say, Lord, I'm wrong, I need help, then God can give you what you need. So I appreciate that in Brother Lockett's example, and it should be an example to us all. You say, well, that's just for the deacons. No, that's for you. That's for me. That's for us all. And this is the house of correction. When you come in here, God's going to correct you. All of us. All of us. We all get corrected here. That's why we keep coming back, because I want to be. See, our desire is to be right. I may not always get it right, but my desire is to be right. And if I get it wrong, I'll get it right. And if I don't get it right the next time, I'll get it wrong and I'll get it right again. And I'm going to keep going until I get it right, because I will be right. Oh, yeah. You know, that's my desire, is to be right. So it's good to have a place to come where you can unload these things. You can't take it to work. Telling you wrong at work, they fire you. Telling you wrong at home, they divorce you. So your best friends, you tell them you're wrong, they walk away from you. So it's good to come to a place where you can say, I'm wrong, and then the people still love you. So that's good, because that's what this house is for. So I want to get started this morning. I got a little thought here, and we got Bible class, Bible study tonight at 7. And then not only that, but Brother Jerry Allen from Little Bethlehem is going to be ministering for us next Sunday. He texted me while I was in Florida, and he wanted to pick a time to come. I said, whatever time you want. So he said, next Sunday. He said, fine, come on. So we'll have Little Bethlehem here next, a week from today. And I'm not sure if it was on the announcements, but I know Jeremiah was going to make sure that everybody was aware of that. But since Jeremiah's not here, I'm going to make sure you're aware of that. Now, we've got Wednesday night service. We don't have guests coming, and Jeremiah's out of town. And I've had one brother already say he wants to get up on Wednesday, so if you brothers want to get up, fine. If not, I've got one brother and myself to handle it. Whatever we're going to need to do, we'll do. But this is your opportunity. Amen. You know, Satan tries to make it his, but it's really God's opportunity. God just uses the devil. He's just too dumb to know it. God uses him, and he turns around and he says, he used me. And then God turns around and uses him again. Amen. He's ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we got Wednesday night service coming up. I'm excited about it. Now, you know, the thing about that Wednesday night, now, you know, sometimes brothers will get up and they won't hit it out of the park, because last Wednesday was amazing. Three home runs back to back. So, you know, that was. But if you ever watch baseball, you don't normally get three home runs in a row. So, but it's just being willing. That's the thing, is being willing. Let God use you, and God will do what he wants. If he wants you to hit a home run, you will. If you just hit enough to get to first base, that's fine too. Because when the next person get up and hit a home run, you're coming in too. So everybody's different. Their makeups are different. Their background's different. Some are shy. Some are not so shy. Some are talkers. Some are not talkers. But it ain't none of that. You say, well, I'm not a talker. Neither am I. But I'm here. So, you know, I don't go along with anybody's excuse why they can't be a part of the body. So I'm just throwing it out there. So that's Wednesday night coming up. So keep thinking, Jeremiah will be back, but Wednesday night is just not going to be here. So we'll keep that in mind and keep that and pray about it if you need to. I don't know why you need to pray about it. God's talking to you. You say, how you know God's talking to you? Because I opened my mouth. You say, you're going to go pray about it. It's like, okay, go pray about it if you want. That ain't gonna change. That's not going to change God's mind about his word. That's what I love about God. You know, he doesn't change his mind about his word. It's just sometimes it takes us a little time to get around to finally doing what God wants. Ask Jonah. It took him a little while, but he finally did what God wanted. So it's good. Well, I want to go over here to the book of Joshua chapter 1. So if you want to turn with me there. And I want to start here. And I got a little bit of reading. It's 9 verses. It's not a lot, but we'll read this. I thought this is a nice place to start. It's a well-known scripture. We read it a lot. And so I want to start with it this morning. And then after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto, Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. For the wilderness, from the wilderness, and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto the people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen. I like the title, the thought this morning, Staying with the Word. Amen. Staying with the Word. And I thought it was fitting to start here with Joshua, because Joshua is a good example, all the way around, good example of how to stay with the Word, how to deal with God's people, how to stay and stand and be strong and not be weak and not look down, not look back, not turn away, but only moving forward to the promises that God gave him. Now, to start out with, Moses died. A lot of people lose it when their prophet dies. A lot of people lost it when the prophet died. And they didn't follow wholly the word. They were so caught up in the man that when the man died, they had nowhere to turn. Some people get caught up in people. If one person leave the church, then three people leave the church. Their man died. Here Joshua was. He had come with Moses out of Egypt. Come out of denomination. Come out of the church world. And Moses led him. And under Moses' ministry, Joshua saw great things. He saw the blood, the water turned to blood. He saw the frogs. He saw all the plagues. He saw the darkness. He saw God walking with him in the wilderness. He saw the rock that followed him. He saw the water that came from the rock. He saw the parting of the sea. He saw all those things. All those things. So if anybody should have been dismayed at the death of Moses, seems like it would have been Joshua. Because Joshua was his minister. Joshua ministered unto him. He kept up with him. He walked with him. He talked. Moses totally trusted him. Amen. Gave him everything he needed. But then there came a point when Moses had to go. And see, the thing is, when there's a changing of the guard, if you don't know what you got a hold of, and if you're changing, if you're not really holding on to God and holding on to God's word, if God moves a man out from under you, you're going to fall. That's why people don't understand about William Branham. They talk about we're following a man. We're not following a man. The man's gone. Amen. Moses is dead. Yeah. William Branham is dead. Amen. We're not worrying about William Branham today. We're not trying to worry over there every Easter to get him up from the grave. We're not worrying about him coming back to bring anything. Everything that Moses was supposed to give to Joshua, he gave him. Every message, every example, everything that Joshua needed, Moses gave it to him before. God would never let his man leave early. Not until he gets his work done. That's why we couldn't lose Brother Childers until he got his work done. Amen. He may have gotten older. He may have slowed down. Right. He may have had to talk from the seat. But as he was talking, we were picking it up. Right. And he didn't leave here with one secret. Right. We didn't have to go back and try to figure out what Brother Childers meant. No. What Brother Childers said. Joshua didn't have to go back and try to figure out what Moses said. Joshua knew what Moses said. Amen. Joshua knew the word of God. If he knew what God told Moses, that was the word of God. People don't understand that when the man of God is speaking the word of God, that is the word of God. It's not the man, it's the God in the man that's doing the talking. And Joshua knew that. He understood who God was. He understood where he was. Now, he didn't call Moses God. He knew Moses was his prophet. And he stayed with Moses. And he reverenced Moses. And he did everything Moses asked him to do. But he was not fooled when Moses went on that mountain thinking that, where goes my God? No. When Moses went on that mountain, Joshua's looking around saying, where is he? Where is he? It's like Elijah and Elisha. As much as God Elisha saw in Elijah, when Elijah went away, Elisha said, where's the God of Elijah? In other words, it wasn't Elijah that Elisha was following. It was the God that was in him that he was following. It wasn't Moses so much that Joshua was following, though he did follow a man. See, you can't follow God without following a man.
Amen.
You can't get this on your own. You can't figure this out on your own. You need the fivefold ministry. You have to have a man to preach this to you to get this thing. You're not going to get it on your own. But it's not the man. See, that's what the world don't understand. They don't understand revelation. See, they don't understand how revelation works. And unless you have a revelation, you won't know how it works. If you don't have a revelation, all you'll see is a man. And all you'll try to do is follow a man. And you'll try to learn what that man knows. And you're thinking you're going to learn because this man's taught you. But it's not about the man. Because the man can't teach you what you need to know.
That's right.
God and God alone is the only giver of revelation.
Amen.
That's why the world doesn't understand us, because they think we're looking at man. They think we're following a man. They think we're learning from a man, but we're not learning from a man. We're learning from God himself.
Amen. Right.
At the opening of the seals, we stopped following man. The last man I followed was before the seals.
Amen.
Then at the opening of the seals, I no longer saw man. I saw God. Because I heard the word. See, the thing is, in order for you to find God, you have to find the word.
That's right.
If you're following a ministry, a man, a preacher, or whoever it is, and he doesn't have the word of God, then you are following a man. Because all he's got is his word. That's why they got theology. That's why they got all this religious demons that are out there trying to teach people how to be Christian. You can't be taught how to be a Christian. You're a Christian because you're Christ-like. You're Christ-like because you're word-like. You're word-like because the word's in you. That's what makes you who you are. It's the word of God coming out of mouth of God. That's who it is. When it was Moses, it was the word of God coming out of Moses. And when Moses went away, God had to move somewhere else. Because God didn't stop talking just because Moses stopped talking. God didn't stop talking because William Brown stopped talking. God didn't stop talking because Earl Childers stopped talking. God is still talking today. He is still amongst us today. He's just as real today as he's ever been. But you got to stay with the word. The only way you're going to find God is find out where the word is. If the word's not there, Brother Branham said, find you a man bringing it word upon word. Because when you find your man bringing it word upon word, you haven't found a man, but you found God. You found God. That's where people mess up. They get away from a man. They're thinking they're getting away from a man. And that man has the word of God. And they get caught up in the man. The man may not do what they want him to do. The man may not act like they want him to act. But if that man is bringing you the word of God, don't worry about that man, because God will take care of that man, because God's obligated not to the man. He's obligated to the word. He'll lay a man down and take the word on if he has to. God's not obligated to stay in a man. You say, well, God's got to have a man here, but he doesn't have to have you. He said, I can raise up stones. He don't need you. He don't have to have you. If you don't want to do the job, he'll move on to somebody else. Like Brother Lockett said, God told him to walk around and he didn't do it. And that's God said, that's okay, Lockett. That's all right. Just sit there. I got somebody over here. And so you'll sit there thinking that you're trying to just, I don't know, you're fighting. What you do, you fight yourself. But you got to understand, the word's in this place.
Amen.
The word is in his people.
Amen.
And God's talking to everybody in here.
Sure is.
And you say, well, I don't want to do it. God said, that's okay.
I got somebody.
You know, if I didn't want to preach this morning, God would say, that's okay. He ain't going to go sit in the corner and cry because Nate ain't going to get up and preach. God will raise somebody walk in this door and say, I was walking down the street. And God spoke to me and told me I'm going to come here and preach today. And tear this house down. You say he can't. Oh, yes, he can. He can talk out of a donkey. He can talk out of me. He can talk out of you. He can talk out of what he needs. But you need to stay with the word. You find where somebody's bringing it word upon word and don't let nobody pull you away from that. Because Satan's whole plan is to pull you away from the word of God. It's a, like Don said, it's a push me, pull you. He'll pull you off the mountain if he can. If he can, he'll try to push you off the other side. He don't care about whether you're religious or not. He'll make you so bad that you can't be religious, or he'll make you so religious that you can't be bad. And he don't mind either one of them. He'll be in both of them. And God and Satan will love you where you're at. You say, well, I serve God so much and so good and so righteous that I'm just holy. That's right where the devil wants you. But you need to find you a man that's bringing a word upon word. And I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. Look in the Bible. What man had God ever chosen the Bible that was right?
Come on.
So David was after God's own heart. Let's not talk about David. Embarrass you. Look at his prophets. Look at Adam. Every last one of them, every last one of them. So it's not following a man. It's not following who is the most religious. Because there's a lot of religious demons out there. And they look like they're good. Look at Caiaphas, the high priest. He looked much better than Jesus. He never cursed. He wouldn't touch wine. His father was clean. His grandfather was clean. His great-grandfather was clean. They didn't have a spot. Their clothes were ironed and cleaned, and they were perfect. And here Jesus comes, flies around the bottom of his pants, down the bottom of his gown, where he walked the roads of Galilee, dirty, dusty, not clean. They used to have to wash your feet when you came in because the roads were so dirty. Jesus had dirty feet. Jesus looked bad. He may have smelled bad. He did all the wrong things that didn't look like the high priest at all. But yet he was the word of God. And only the word of God can find the word of God. Joshua wasn't following Moses because he was such a good man. Oh, they talked about Moses. They laughed about Moses. Moses had all kinds of problems. God got mad at Moses. God got Moses because Moses smote the rock twice. I'm talking about a man who lifted the ear to God.
Amen.
So it wasn't Moses that Joshua was following. It was the word of God that was coming out of his mouth. That's what you need to know. Because if you don't know how to stay with the word, if you don't know how to hear the word, you won't stay with the word. You'll have your own ideas. You'll think you've got a better way. You'll have all kinds. And see, Satan's whole plan is to get you away from the word of God. You say, but I got the word of God. I listen on the internet all the time. That ain't the word of God. That's help when you need it. Some people can't get to the house of God. But if you get to, if you can get to the house of God and you don't come, the internet doesn't help you.
Amen.
God knows. God knows. Listen all you want. You say, well, I get blessed. Yeah. The devil gets blessed too. But if you can be in the house of God and you're not here, then you're just following a man.
Amen. 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 You're right.
Because the word of God comes out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
And his word says, gather into the house. I don't care what kind of excuses you put up, what kind of excuses you make. Well, I woke up this morning and I was tired. Well, I woke up this morning and I was tired. But getting to the house of God is important.
Amen.
That's the word of God. See, we don't think that's the word of God, but staying with the word of God is staying with every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
Not just picking and choosing. Oh, I like this part, so I'll believe this. And oh, I don't like this part, so I won't believe that. If you don't believe all of it, you might as well not believe none of it.
Amen.
Just turn your internet off. Go fishing or go hunting or go something. You say, well, why are you picking on me? I'm telling you what the word of God says. See, that staying with the word of God means wholly staying with the word of God. Not parts, because the denomination's got a part word. They believe part word. They believe in God. So does Satan. Bible says the devil believes and trembles. At least he's scared of God. Some people aren't scared of God. They'll go out here and follow a man, follow tradition, follow this, follow that, and there's no God in it. They have just enough God to make it look churchy, but it's, the rest of it's just leaven.
That's right.
And the Bible tells me little leaven. Leaven's the whole lump.
That's right.
If part of your message is wrong, then all of your message is wrong.
Right.
If we're preaching here in this church and we have 80% of the message and we don't want the rest of it, then it's all wrong.
Amen.
Joshua, wholly follow the Lord. Caleb, wholly follow the Lord. Not Moses. They followed the word. And so when Moses died, God came to Joshua and he told him, he said, the servant's dead. He said, but every place that you place your foot. See, this is somebody who wholly follows the word. When you wholly follow, when you put the word of God in you, where you place your feet, not me. See, a lot of times people are waiting on me. Don't wait on me. It's not about me. It's not about Nate. It's about what word is in you. And when the word is in you, wherever you put your feet. That's what God told him, Joshua. So wherever you put your feet, that's going to be yours. I'll give it to you. I have given you, as I said to Moses, because see, this is the same promises that God gave Moses is the same promises that God gave to Joshua. And you say, well, God didn't tell us anything. He told us everything that we had. Everything that he told Brother Branham, he told us. Every promise that he gave to Moses, our Moses, it comes to us. That's why we can claim unloved ones. That's why we can bind and loose.
Yes.
Because the same word that was in Moses was the same word that was in Joshua. And the people had to follow Joshua in order to get what Moses promised them.
Amen.
No other way. You say, well, I want to go another route. I want to do it this way. Joshua, I know that Moses is gone, so I think we should all just split up and do our own little thing. No, you got to stay with the exact same word that Moses brought.
Amen.
Don't add to, don't take away. Got to do it. Everywhere that you place your foot, it's yours. He said, there shall no man be able to stand before thee. Listen to the promise. Listen to the promise. No man will be able to stand before you. And we don't even hardly realize the authority that's been placed on us because of the word that we've stayed with. When you stay with the word of God, there's benefits with this thing. There's benefits in serving God. Everywhere you place your foot, people, belong to you.
Amen.
The footsteps of the righteous are ordered. He's talking about your footsteps. Because you are the righteous. What makes you righteous? The word of God in you. You stayed with the word. Everybody who stayed with Moses' word went all the way. But they had to go all the way through Joshua. So God switched hats on them.
That's right.
He'll do that. He'll do that. He'll move one man in and move another man out. And he'll drop everybody who's following a man to fall off. When Brother Childers was pastor, we had a packed church. Brother Childers turned it over to me. It took a few years, but it finally weeded out everybody that didn't believe what Brother Childers said. They left by this reason, they left by that reason, they left by this excuse, they left by that excuse, but they didn't follow the whole, they didn't follow the Lord wholly, because God said that I was going to be the next pastor up. I didn't even believe it. Every time Brother Children said it, I said, gotta come first. There's no way. There's no way. But God had a plan. And God's plan was going to throw some people off. And it always does. God's plan always throws somebody off. And here we are just trudging along. We're battling like everybody else. We have struggles like everybody else. But the one thing we have that they don't have, we have the Word of God. We have peace in the midst of the storm. We have answers when they don't have answers. We know that God will make a way somehow. If he has to raise up a rock, he'll make a way. If he has to be a rock in the wilderness, he'll make a way. If he has to be a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, God will make a way. If he wants you to go through the water, he'll make a way. If he wants you to go through the wilderness, he'll make a way. If he wants you to go over a mountain or under a mountain or around a mountain, God will make a way. That's what the Word of God is. That's the benefit of being who we are. Because we have the Word of God in us, we have the benefit of having God in skin.
Amen.
And God's going to take care of His Word.
Amen.
If He doesn't take any care of anything else, He's going to take care of His Word. You put His Word wholly in our heart. I'm not talking about half follow. I'm not talking about taking a little bit of God. I'm talking about sell out. Give Him all your life. Give Him all your problems. Give Him all your needs. Give Him everything. Let Him have everything. And don't worry about your shyness. Don't worry about what you think it is. Don't worry about what you want to do. Don't worry about what you want it to be. Don't worry about who you want to be. Let God have your life, and He'll take the Word of God and make it what He wants it out of you. Staying with the Word of God. When you hear the Word of God preached and you know it's the Word of God, don't let nothing persuade you. Don't let nobody talk you out of it. Don't let nobody unbuckle your seatbelt, David. He said, I'm buckled in. Don't let nobody unbuckle you. Don't let nobody toss you. Don't let nobody try to convince you otherwise, because it's not a man. I'm only here for a short time and I'll be gone. But I'm not going to be the one that's the Word. The Word will still be here when I'm gone.
Amen. Amen.
One thing we have learned is how to change pastors. We learned that years ago. It was rough then. It shouldn't be rough now, because we know how to do it now. But back then, it was not easy. What? Brother Childers? What? Brother Childers? And then they kept going to Brother Childers for everything. And you know what Brother Childers would do? Point it to me. Go talk to your pastor. Go talk to your pastor. Go talk to your pastor. You know why? He recognized the leadership. He recognized where the Word of God was coming from. And it didn't take away from him. Joshua becoming the leader didn't take away from Moses. Moses led him as far as he was ordained to do it. And then God said, okay, time to change clothes, because I'm going to throw some people off. But it was the same Word. He says, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. As I told Moses, so will I tell you. As I promised Moses, so am I promising you. So God didn't change His mind about His Word. See, we get impatient. We stop waiting. We think it's been long enough. We think, okay, God, enough is enough. But God doesn't get tired. God doesn't stop waiting. He knows exactly the day the body change is going to happen. Brother Branham thought it was going to happen in his day. Brother Childers thought it was going to happen in his day. Brother Nate thinks it's going to happen in his day. If it's not me, then Jeremiah's going to think it's going to happen in his day. But you know what? It doesn't change God's mind about His promise. It's going to happen.
Amen.
It's going to happen because it's the word of God. Amen. See, that's what you got to do is keep your eyes on the word. When it comes to healing, don't take your eyes off the word. The word says, by his stripes, I'm healed. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what anybody says. The word of God says, by his stripes, I'm healed. I don't care how sick I am. I'm going to stay right there. I'm going to stay right there. I'm going to stand right there. You might have a mental issue. And the devil telling you, you got to this. You can't do this. You can't do that. You got troubles here. You got troubles there. I would stand on God's healing word over top of everything the doctor says. Brother Chilton said, one thing I want to do all my life, I never want to lose my mind. And you know what? He didn't. He stayed right there on that word. And if you got mental issues, you don't have to have mental issues. If you got physical issues, you don't have to have physical issues. Devil tells you you got arthritis. There's arthritis on you. Tell that arthritis to go somewhere. Because by his stripes, I'm already healed. You say, well, what am I going to, what if it doesn't go away? What are you going to lose by standing on the word of God? If you stand on the word of God, a miracle can happen. If you don't stand on the word of God, nothing will happen. That man that Brother Branham prayed for that was blind in the back, couldn't see. Brother Branham said, you walk out of here confessing it. That's what you do with your healing. Because it's the word of God. It's not the person that's not coming up here and let me lay hands on you. It's you accepting the word by himself. You believe what God said and you stand right there. Drive your stake and don't let nobody move you off of that. That man walked out away just as blind as he was when he came in there. He sold newspapers, went up there and says, extra, extra, read all about it. I was blind, but now I see. Just as blind as ever. Went for days. Finally went to the barbershop to get his hair cut. They were making fun of him. See, people make fun of you. When you hold on to the word of God, people will make fun of you because they're unbelievers. They don't believe it's God. Sitting in that barber chair and say, hey, thought you said God healed you. He has. Yeah. Thought you said you could see. You as blind as you ever was. I was blind, but now I see. Yeah. God said, I'm healed. Right. By his stripes, I'm healed. About that time, that man's eyes opened. He come out of that barber chair seeing. See, you don't always get your healing right when you ask for it. But it doesn't change God's mind about his word. You don't get your answer right when you want it. But it doesn't change God's mind about his word. You may not get what you want when you want it. But you just stand on the word of God and leave the rest up to him. He might want to see how patient you are. If you hold on, you know what? I'll love God if I never see nothing. I'll love God if I never get healed. I'll love God if he never answers all my prayers. I love him because he first loved me. I love him because his word is true. I love him because I'm his son. Amen. Not because he gives me anything. He didn't have to give me anything. He's been so good. No man shall be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. All the days of your life. That's not just today. That's every day. When the devil comes at you as a postman, he can't stand before you. When the devil comes as a bill collector, they can't stand before you. When the devil comes and tries to tell you you ain't no good, he can't stand before you. When you try to stand before yourself and tell you how rotten you are, it won't work. The word of God has got you covered. No man shall stand before you all the days of your life. Can you imagine how bold a person could be if they really believe that? If you really believe that no man can stand before you all the days of your life, you won't fear man.
Amen.
You won't fear man, what they're going to do to you.
That's right.
Jesus stood before Pilate. Pilate said, don't you know I have the ability to take your life? Jesus said, you can't take my life. You ain't no power. I'm going to lay it down. You ain't going to take it. I'm going to lay it down. See, that's a different. I'm going to lay this thing down. You ain't going to take it. If I do die, it ain't going to be the devil taking my life. It's going to be me laying it down.
Right.
You say, well, I got you. I got you with sickness. I got you with this. I got you with that. You ain't got anything.
Right.
God already has my change date already marked.
That's right.
He already knows my last breath. He already knows what I'm going to do here at the very end of this life. So I don't even need to fear death. That's why the scripture says, death, where's thy sting? Grave, where's your victory? The grave doesn't even have victory. That's why we don't care whether we're buried or burned. It doesn't matter. Because we understand that we're not there. The grave has no victory over us. You don't need to have a memorial for me, because the memorial is going to be me in the glory. I'm not going to be buried out there somewhere. The ground will never catch this man. The body might go back, but me, I'll be leaving this tabernacle and going to another. So I don't have to fear death. I don't have to fear sickness. I don't have to fear anything. No man shall be able to stand before you. While you're staying with the Word of God. The Word promised you this, people. It's not just me saying, oh, if you serve God, God's going to be... No, the Word said. And when you get in these situations and Satan's got you cornered, or your family's got you cornered, or your friends got you cornered, or you got yourself cornered. Because we do that to ourselves. Amen. Oh, I've been bad. So he go, man, this is... Nothing's going to stand between you and the Word of God. Amen. All the days. I like he said all the days of your life. Yes. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He'll never leave us. You say, I'm alone. No, you're not. You're never alone. You're never alone. Never. You say, I'm single, but you're not alone. Never. You say, I don't have no friends, but you're not alone. Jesus is always there. The Word is right there. My Word is nigh thee. Even in your mouth. All you got to do is start speaking a little bit. Just start speaking the Word. Don't speak after Satan, because Satan will tell you, oh, your personality is such nobody likes you. Oh, you're made in such a way that nobody can get along with you. That ain't the Word. The Word says, I'll never leave you. The Word says, I'll be there with you. Even in you, to the end of the world. That's the Word of God. You start talking after the Word when you get lonely. You start talking after the Word. And call up a part of the body. Say, hey, I'm feeling a little lonely today. And I know the Word said, now don't just leave it on, I'm feeling lonely. Put some Word on it. So know the Word said, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And you watch that saint on the other end of that phone, or the other end of that conversation. Yeah, because you know if they were gonna give you a pity party, you've already hit the ball. So
that's right.
They better hit something back positive. Yeah. They say, yeah, you are alone. I've always been praying maybe you get a mate, because boy, you're in awful shape by yourself. No. You know when you start out, no, the Bible tells me God's Word told me I'm never alone. And then the Satan is like, yeah, you're never alone. You got God. And if you need God in skin, call me up. I'm here for you.
That's right.
Let's go out and do something. Let's do something. Because see, the devil, he's trying to get you away from the Word of God.
Right.
He wants to separate you from the Word of God. And he'll put loneliness there. He'll put sickness there. He'll put whatever he can use against you. Because he's going to try everything. Oh, if you ain't had no problems yet, he don't know who you are. Just let him find out who you are.
Oh, yeah.
And then you'll have some troubles come your way. Because you know what? You don't know what's in you until you run across something. You got to be tested and tried. God tests and tries every son that comes to him. So don't think you're going to get the Holy Ghost and have it made. No, you're going to start. You're going to have to fight. They didn't even start fighting until they got into Canaan's land. The land that God promised them. They had to fight for it. Do you know you got to fight for that land that you got? God ain't going to just lay back and let you just have... No, you're going to fight for this. You're going to stand up as a believer. You're going to let the devil know where you stand. You're going to let God know where you stand. You're going to let the world know where you stand. You're going to take that stand, and you're going to stand right there and let God's Word do everything it needs to do in your life. Just stand with it. He said, be strong and of good courage. Don't be weak, saints. We're not weak. We're not weak because we have the Word of God. You walk in a hospital room and you see that all the evidences that Satan places before you. But you know, you walk in there as a son or daughter of God and say, by his stripes, I'm healed.
Yeah.
What's all this stuff? It's got to go. Got to go. Do you know when somebody leaves the hospital, all that's gone? So you just walk in there and claim it. You got to, it's got to go. Don't go down, oh, oh no. Oh, I don't know about it. It looks too bad. It looks too bad. Jesus came back from the dead. After 3 days. Lazarus came back after four. It's not too great for God. Nothing's too great for God. And if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I still don't lose. I got another one waiting on me. That's what the word of God tells me. So be strong. Don't be a weak Christian. Don't be all wimpy. Oh, I've had a bad day. I had a bad day. It's only bad until you wake up and put the word on it. When you use the word of God, it overcomes every day. Be strong. Have good courage. Don't be down and out. Have courage. Get out there. Oh, don't be like that cowardly lion in the Wizard of Oz. Have some courage. The word of God should give you courage. It should make you stand up, be counted for, be bold. You say, well, I'm shy. You're shy. Get some courage. The word of God is our courage. I'm shy, but I'm up here. You're shy, but you get up here. We do what we do because of who we are, not because of our makeup. Because God, he uses our makeup, but basically, he gets your makeup out of the way. And he does what he wants to do through you. And you get up, and everybody always say, oh, I got up, and I meant to say this, and I didn't say this, and I didn't say that. And I said, because God didn't want to say it. Didn't make God mad. God was able to use that vessel to get what he wanted out. And all that premeditated practice testimony that you had that you were going to give us, that was so great. Amen. God's like, can't even use it. Won't edify the body. Amen. You know, in our denomination, they all stand up. Giving honor to God, who's the head of my life. That's fine. But that's really not your testimony. That's something that everybody does. Practiced. It's rehearsed. I'd rather somebody get up here fresh off the cuff, say something that nobody's ever said, and God's just blessing the body with it. Turn the house upside down. Amen. Be of good courage. It says, be strong and be of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for inheritance the land. Do you know what the land is? You know where our land is? Our land is the word. God's going to divide unto us the word. Now, you don't all have all the same understanding of the whole Bible. One's got a little bit of this. One's got a little bit of that land. One's got a little bit of this land. God's divided unto us the land, the word. And between us all, we got the whole book. I shall divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. When did he do that? I will restore, saith the Lord. He's got all kind of promises in here. Promises to what he was going to do with the land once we got in it. Because remember, we didn't get into land until this day. We couldn't get into land until the seals were tore off. Because we sat and we guessed and we sent spies over and we looked into the land and, you know, the giants and this and that and the other, but we never really got into the land. Not till the seals were ripped off. But when the word of God was opened up, we had the entire Canaan's land right before us. And he gave it all to us. Amen. Said, but he wants us to be strong and be courageous that thou may observe. Why do you think he kept saying that? You don't want no weak Christians. You know, when you're with your family and you're sitting around the house, you're not afraid to speak up. You got something to say, you say it. I want an oatmeal raisin cookie. You just say it. And either it's yes or no. When you get in the house of God, right, we almost act like we're amongst strangers. Come on. Like people who don't know us. Take your shoes off. Relax. Amen. Enjoy yourself. I go in the house, I take my shoes off. They think I'm taking off because I'm being polite. No, I like walking around with my shoes off. I do that for me, not for you. I don't care if you swept the floor or not. I say, oh, we haven't swept yet. I don't care. I just walk around with no shoes. That's just me. I'm at home. You know, if I'm in some formal place, yeah, keep them on. But when we come to the house of God, we should relax. These are the people who you can say anything to. If you're wrong, you can say, hey, I was wrong. If you need help, say, I need help. If there's something that you're, it's a benefit in serving God. You have access to all kind of people that the rest of the world has no access to. Only be strong and very courageous. He says it again. That thou may observe to do all according to the laws which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Take the whole word.
Yes.
Not just part of it. And I'm not talking about living by the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about take the whole Bible.
Yes.
Take the whole Bible. Because it's going to tell you where you, it's going to tell you where you're short. It's going to tell you what you need. It's going to tell you where you got it made. The Bible doesn't just tell you where you're short. It also tells you where you got it made. You know, because ye are sons. I got it made. He's going to come after me. You know, no man can go to heaven except for he that come from heaven. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. See, all we do is we concentrate on the law. Thou shalt not. That's all we see in the Bible. That's why they had the Ten Commandments. That's all they did. Handle them those. But God's got a lot more promises in there than he had commandments. It's like you can have healing. You can have salvation. You can go to heaven. You can get a body change. I mean, he's got so many promises in there that we don't even look at it. That's part of the law, part of the word that we don't even look at. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night. You know how you get closer to God? Read and pray. Read that Bible and pray about it. Lord, help me. Lord, help me to match what I just read. Lord, help me to think about this instead of think about that. Lord, help me to put this in there instead of that in there. Lord, let me talk after the word versus after my own emotions. Because a lot of times we talk after our emotions and we talk after our feelings. And all we do is get a negative testimony. We wake up in the morning, oh, I don't feel well. That's the first thing out of your mouth. Before you even thank God that you got a life, health, and strength. You ain't even talking about strength. First thing, oh, I don't feel well. No, you'd be better off by waking up and saying, oh, by a stripes, I'm healed. I'm not 100%, but I'll get there today. I'm going to feel better. Just get up and walk around. That'll help me. And start talking to yourself. Make yourself get up. Don't sleep till 10, 11, 12 o'clock. You're laying in that bed all day. You know what you're doing? You're in there entertaining Satan. And you finally roll out of the bed late. The rest of the world's made half a day's wages. And you're thinking about what you're going to have for breakfast. Breakfast? You skipped. You missed that. But push yourself. Step out. Don't just let down. You know, if you don't use something, you lose it. Step out on the word of God. Let it be part of your very daily routine. Let it be part of your life. And look at him and listen to him and let him know that you need some help if you need it. You know, talk to him. Don't talk to the devil. The devil already set you up. So that's what Joshua was told. He was staying with the word of God. The word that God gave Moses, God also gave to Joshua. I want to go over to another one. I'm skipping Brother Branham's quote here. Just going over, just to save time. Matthew chapter 8. And these are people that we know well, but it's sometimes good to be reminded. And sometimes we need to be reminded because we get through the day-to-day life and we get all bogged down with circumstances, and next thing you know, we're not sure where we're at. We're testifying. I like what somebody said, testifying for the devil. You know, you get up and testify for the devil. You know, I've been sick all week long. Amen. And then go sit down. God don't get no glory out of that. You get up and say, you know what? I've been sick all week long, but God, who is rich in mercy, touched me, healed me, raised me, got me back to the house, gave me strength, gave me my right mind, gave me an overcoming. I mean, now you're talking. Now you're talking after the word. See the difference between the two? You can get up and testify for the devil, or you can get up and testify for God. And when you get up and testify for the devil, I'm ready to hit a note on that organ. And when you testify for God, I'm ready to shout.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 8. The centurion answered. This is a man who was a soldier. And he believed God. And he knew how the word works. He knew how the spoken word works. Some of us don't know how the spoken word works. You got to speak it. That's why your testimony is so important. Your testimony is for you. Because you know what? You need to drive your stake and claim it. Because what people do, they come and they'll testify. They'll say, God brought me to this church. Hallelujah. Then something don't go their way. And all of a sudden, they stop testifying that. And they sit for a while like, man, I don't even know if I should be here. Man, maybe I don't belong here. Man, this place is awful. Man, I can't stand the pastor. Man, I got to go. And they never remembered their testimony. See, your testimony keep you on just straight north. Your testimony does. It keeps you on point. It keeps you on focus on where you're going, where you're shooting for. You know, if you sit up here testifying that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a healer. He's a redeemer. He's got me. And you're testifying this, and the devil ain't got no room. No room. And matter of fact, when the devil climbs on your shoulder, walk him up here. Just walk him up here. By stripes and healed. God's a healer. The devil is like, oh, man. Don't let him get you down.
Amen.
If you don't have two legs, use one. If you don't have two hands, use one.
Amen.
If you don't have a voice, you remember when John lost his voice? That didn't stop him.
Nope.
He didn't say, well, I'm done now. Nope. I might as well not even come to church because I can't even say amen. I might as well just stay home. You know, that's what people do. I might as well stay home. You know what he did? He come here with no voice. And he praised God and sang with no voice. He said, he told me, I'm just mad because I can't sing. You know, I can't even sing. But he was trying. He'd move his lips and he'd do what he could do. But you know what? His voice started coming back. And it got better and got better. And it got so better that y'all forgot he couldn't talk. I had to stop the service one day. I had to stop because y'all just take things for granted. God heals y'all and y'all just don't even stop. And John's up here talking away and he's sitting down. I said, look at God. And I looked out at the congregation, and y'all are like, next. And I'm like, no, hold it. Do y'all realize that John is talking? And then y'all are like, oh, that's right, he couldn't talk. But see, that's the way you do it. You don't just lay down and die because it's not going the way you want it. If you can't raise your hand all the way, I remember a time that John and Don, they couldn't raise their hands. John had surgery, John had an operation, and I watch them. And they would raise their hands as far as they can get them. And I'm like, Lord, touch them. Because I know they want to raise them higher. But you know what? Today they can do this.
Amen.
I just use that as an example to show you that you got to have a push about you. Have some courage. Have some strength. Have a push about you. Stand on the word of God and let the word of God do what it's going to do.
Amen.
We try to direct the word of God and tell it what we want. We don't know what the word of God wants. You just be a willing vessel and let God do what he wants with you. Here the centurion was there with Jesus. Man of authority. And he told Jesus over here. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. The centurion answered and said, because, you know, Jesus was there. And he said, well, I got a sick servant. I need you to come and heal him. And Jesus, when he was like, I got a sick servant, Jesus said, I'm going to come by your house and heal him. Centurion said, No. You're a busy man. You don't have to do that. He said, Centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Just think of that. Just think of that. He said, I don't even need you to come see me. I don't need you to come home with me. I don't need you to follow me home. All you need to do is tell me that he's going to be healed. How simple was that? Just speak the word. Just speak the word.
Amen.
Jesus was so impressed with that. He said, for I'm a man of under authority, having soldiers under me. I know how it works. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And I say to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. In other words, if I tell you what I want done, it will happen. That's how authority works. And that centurion, see, it wasn't just on Jesus' side. That centurion recognized Jesus' authority. He recognized his courage. He recognized his strength. He knew that he was dealing with a man that could call things into existence that didn't exist. That's how convinced he was.
Amen.
He said, just speak it. I know how authority works. You don't have to come to my house. I'm not even worthy to have you in my house. But just speak it. And Jesus, when he heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found such great faith, no, not in Israel. And all the Israelites, I ain't found nobody like this guy, this centurion. He had so much faith. Because what was he doing? He was following the word. He heard the word being spoken. He, no doubt, he watched Jesus before he asked Jesus. Because he wasn't going to just take no man's thoughts. He wasn't going to just take. So he watched Jesus. Probably there when they said, get out of swine. So get out of those men and go in those swine. Because he was talking to that demon. He said, oh, bid us to go to the swine. So get out. Go. He probably heard or been around. He said, Tabitha. Wake up. Probably around when Lazarus was called for from the dead. He saw something. I don't know what he saw, but I know he saw something. He was a believer, and he knew how powerful the Word of God was in human skin. And if you can find out where the Word of God is in human skin, then you can get whatever you need. He said, I don't need you to come to my house. I've watched you. I've heard you. I saw how your words work. I saw how you speak and things happen. So all I need you to do is just speak the word. Jesus said, I ain't never running anybody like this in this country. But that's exactly what Jesus wanted us to do. He was doing what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples to do. He was doing exactly what he knew when they come out of that upper room, they were going to do. Jesus said, I hadn't found it yet, but that's exactly, that is just right. That centurion followed the word. He was staying with the word. He said, you just give me the word. Just give me the word. See how healing works? There was time Brother Brown would have prayer services and he'd have them lined up and all. And there was times he would just say, just let's have a mass prayer over the whole congregation. You touch the person sitting next to you. Because everybody touched somebody that's near them. And they all prayed. And it wasn't Brother Branham. It was the Word of God coming out of the mouth of God in the people of God, moving God through the congregation. And that's what he really wanted. He wasn't turned on by prayer lines. Matter of fact, Brother Branham said prayer lines are old. It's an old custom. Didn't really need prayer lines. If you can only receive the word of God, you can have what you need.
Yes.
Without prayer lines, without somebody calling your name, somebody reading your address. He did that to strengthen their faith. But if you got faith now, and faith is a revelation, this place is full of revelation now. If your faith or your revelation is strong in you, you can ask what you will. And it'll be done unto you. That was the centurion. Matthew 24 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. It shall not pass away. That's Matthew 24 and 35. Everything else is going to crumble. But if you stay with the word of God, God's word will never pass away. You hold on to his word. I don't care what it looks like. That's like Don asked me about her sister who had cancer. She said, well, how do we pray? I said, we pray as believers. We believe God. We believe God. God's word never said pray anything other than healing. He never said anything but by his stripes I'm healed. He's never said anything but greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. He's never said anything other than if they all forsake you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. These are the promises of God's word. God's word never talked negative to us about his love for us. Amen. So when you're feeling down or out, or you don't know how to pray, or you don't know what to do, or you don't know what to say, look into the word, because that word will give you exactly what to say. If you don't know how to pray, Jesus said, here's how you pray. Our Father, thou art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. In other words, what you want. Thy will be done, not mine, on earth as it is in heaven. Let us live, Lord. Let us live according to the mind of God, the plan of God. Give us this day what I need right now, our daily bread. And forgive our trespassers. As we forget. See, you can't even get from God unless you forgive. If you hold a grudge, God will not move in your life.
Amen.
Did you hear me?
Amen.
You wonder why God's moving? Who you holding a grudge against?
Right.
Who you got something against?
Right.
Forgive our trespassers.
Yeah.
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
Right.
So you got to forgive in order to receive forgiveness.
Amen.
You got to give grace in order to receive grace.
Amen.
You got to give love in order to receive love.
Right.
You got to understand others and expect others to understand you. That's the way it worked. That old saying, if you want friends, show yourself friendly. You got to give what you expect to receive. Forgive us our trespasses. Oh, because we mess up. We trespass. We step on people. We talk about them. We do wrong. We do. Forgive us our trespasses even before theirs. Start here. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. I need to stand on the word of God. Don't let me hold nothing against my brother or my sister. Don't let me hold nothing against anybody. Let me forgive them. When they do you wrong, forgive them. When they talk about you, forgive them. When they make fun of you, forgive them. When they don't like you, forgive them.
Amen.
Because that's the only way you're going to get what you need.
Amen.
Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. You don't know how to pray? Follow what Jesus said.
That's right.
As we forgive those who trespass against us. I'll never let them. I'll never forgive you. You ever heard anybody say that? I'm sure you haven't said it because y'all are Christians. I'll never forgive you. You got to forgive everybody. You got to forgive everybody. Not just the ones that done you right. You don't forgive them. You got to forgive the ones who've done you wrong. You got to forgive the ones who dogged you. You got to forgive those who really have done bad to you. You got to. That's the way Jesus said to pray. That's the word of God. Forgive those who trespass or forgive us. Lead us not into temptation. God ain't going to lead you into temptation. He said, I won't put more on you than you could bear. Temptation comes from the devil. Jesus was tempted by the devil. You're tempted by the devil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, the tempter. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You don't know how to pray? You don't know how to pray? After that example? That's the word of God.
Amen.
We're wholly following the word of God. We're staying with the word. What the word says is what I say. What the word says is what I believe. What the word says is what I'll do. Okay? Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Isaiah 53 and verse 4 and 5. That's where we get what we get. That's why we can have peace. That's why we can have healing. And that's why we got all these things, is because Jesus paid the price for us. That's the word of God. That's why I can stand on it, because the word says I have peace. The word says I don't have to be torp in this world. I don't have to have this world order mess me up. Oh, they may be bombing, shooting, and doing everything that they're doing. Drugs is crazy. Kids are crazy. Parents are crazy. I saw a lady, a girl the other day, yesterday. And I don't know, because I didn't stop to ask. But a lady and her daughter was coming out of the store. And me and Brother LD were coming out of the store. And I told him, look, LD. And he didn't see it. I saw it. I said, that girl's got a tail. It was coming out the back of her pants, and it was about that long, walking with her mother with this tail. This world is gone. Gone. And I just look at this, but you don't have to be crazy, because they are. They have lost their ever-loving mind. And I'm talking to parents. It's her mother's fault. She ought to snatch that off of Andrea so fast. She'd have never made it out of the house. Let alone go out in public. And go with her. Drove her there because she was too young to drive. But that shows you the world condition. But you know what? That doesn't mean us. It hasn't affected us. Because he was wounded. He was bruised. We got peace because of his chastisement. And by his stripes we're healed. We got everything we need. This world's falling apart. And we'd almost get mad about it. But you might as well not get mad about it. God said it was going to happen from the beginning. This is where he was telling us we were going to go. And that's the hour that we're living in. And it's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse with every generation. With every crazy new law, with everything else that they're putting out there, it's only going to get worse. So you might as well not get upset about it. Have your peace in the midst of the storm. It won't be long. God will get us out of this. It'll get so crazy, God will say, oh, my Lord, I got to get my bride out of there. There is nothing left good on that earth. Jesus stayed with the word. Luke chapter 22. And he withdrew from about a stone's cast and knelt down and prayed. He was with his disciples, saying, Father, if thy will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, see, sometimes we go through things we don't want to go through. Right. And a lot of times we think because we're a believer and a Christian that we shouldn't have to go through it because we're believers and Christians. You're the very one that's going to go through it. You're the one that the devil's going to go after. You're the one that God's going to prove his word through. And everybody else is going to fall apart. Amen. Jesus had to give his life. He didn't want to do it. Y'all think Jesus just skipped up Calvary's hill. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to die. He's a young man in the middle of his youth. He wanted to get married, have a wife and kids and a family and job. And he wanted to live. He's just like you. You have been over at 33. You know how you felt at 33. You're right in the middle of life. The prime of your life. Enjoying things. You're not ready to lay your life down. Jesus didn't want to do it. But because he knew that that was his role, he said, Lord, even though I don't want to do this, I'm going to submit myself to it because this is the part of the word that I'm playing. What are you going to say?
Come on.
In the hour that we're living in. When we want to be something else and we know that God's word is calling for us to be what we are, not my will, but thine be done. That's what we should be saying.
You're right. You're right.
Oh, let the world go. Let those old friends go. Let your family think what they want. You be a believer. You be a Christian. You be an oddball, because you're going to be an oddball. You're not going to fit with the rest. You're not going to roll like they roll. You're not going to look like they look. You're not going to talk like they talk. You're not even going to be, they're not even going to want too much to do with you, because your very presence makes them uncomfortable. Because you're going to create an atmosphere around you that the world don't want. But it's not your will. It's the will of God is what we're after. I want to be what God wants me to be. I don't want to be what I want to be. I have all kind of ideas of what I want. But it's not about me. It's about Him. I'd rather stay with the Word of God and let God live out through me and let myself be misunderstood than agree with everything this world has to offer and be living down hell's alley. Amen. Jesus said, I want to live. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And listen to what Paul said. I'm talking about staying with the Word. Listen to what Paul said over here to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He told him, preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. People don't want to do that. They don't want to be told they're wrong. They don't want to be told they need to step it up. They want to just leave me alone. No, we can't leave you alone. If we leave you alone, you'll go down the stream like the rest of the trash. You should be different. You should talk different. You should act different. You should live different. You should dress different. You should, all the way across, everybody looking at you should know that you're somebody special. If you fit in with the world, they don't even know what your testimony is. Your very life is a testimony. You don't have to preach to everybody. All you should be able to do is just walk in a room. All you do is walk in a room. Your very life testifies. I don't preach to my family. You can ask Melanie. I ain't preached to them in years. I used to try. But I ain't preached to them in years. But all I do is walk in a room. They know who I am. They know what I stand for. They know what I believe. I had my oldest brother one time tell me, he says, and I never really talked to him about this, but he said, every time I go through Jeffersonville, Indiana, I think about you. I thought, huh. So he's made a connection and some research knowing Jeffersonville's Brother Branham, Indiana, Message Church next year. He made all that. He did all that. I didn't do it. I never talked to him about Jeffersonville, but he told me, every time I go through Jeffersonville, I think about you. So I see, it's your life. Yes. You don't have to track them down and preach to them and tell them everything. Your very life is a testimony in itself. I go to the hospital down there to see Jay. I was going in the other day in my jeans and going back to see him. And the lady at the desk who opens the door, she hollered back, you the pastor? I said, yes, I am. By the way, how'd you know? She said, oh, I was down in the other wing. Down there during the surgery day, she said, I was down there on that day, and I saw you down there. And I thought, oh, okay. So she's made the, see, your life speaks for itself. Amen. I don't have to tell Michelle's family who I am. I walk in the room. They all know me. They all know me. And they all know when I say something, I mean it. Amen. Y'all know when I say something, I mean it. I'm not much of a joker. I really don't joke. If I tell you something, it's usually because I'm telling you something. But your life should speak for itself. You don't have to be all preachy. You don't have to be all Christian-y. You don't have to put on some front. I don't even tell most people I'm a preacher. I don't even tell them I'm a Christian. I just walk in a room. And because they don't know who God is, they wouldn't know Him if He walked in. The reason I know that, because they don't. But then after they hang around for a while, eventually what they do is they start testifying to me. They say, I knew there was something about you. I didn't know what it was, but because they don't know God. I knew there was something about you. They said they didn't know. They didn't know much about what these disciples were. They said, but one thing they did know, they had been with Jesus. You don't have to know my name. You don't have to know anything about me. But when I walk in a room, I've been with Jesus. preach the word because they don't want to hear it. Rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and it is here. Yes. This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't stay with the word. But after their own lust, this is how they pick churches. Go to the church of your choice. I cannot stand that. Don't you ever put that on your truck. Go to the church of your choice. They seek out somebody who has itchy ears. Somebody that's going to tell them what they want to hear. Somebody that'll baptize the baby and bury them when they're dead. And don't bother me about coming to church. I'll come when I want, and I'll stay home when I want, and don't you tell me anything different. See, that, I couldn't tell them what I told y'all this morning. They shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They're not going to stay with the word. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, because you're going to be talked about. Yeah. Oh, I don't think everybody likes me. I'm not fooling myself. They don't like what I preach. They don't like what I say. They don't like what I do. They don't like the way I run my church. They don't like the way I live. They don't like, they don't like, they don't like. They don't like anything. Very unhappy people. But me... I just go on with life. Because they didn't save me, and they can't send me to hell. They're going to be mad all the way until the great white throne judgment or until the marriage supper. They won't be mad at me then. When they're sitting across from me at the marriage supper and when I'm stumping all over their food on the table because I'm dancing, they're going to understand it. I was like, I don't know how we're going to sit down and have bread and wine. I'm going to be... It's going to take 3.5 years to settle us down. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. For I am now ready. Listen to how what happens with a believer. When they follow the word, when they stay with the word, they can say like Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And he's speaking for himself, and you got to speak for yourself. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me. See, you got to speak, you got to read this for yourself. Laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only me, not me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I love his appearing.
Yes.
I know when he came.
Yes.
I love that he came.
Yes.
Everybody else walk around here like he's not here yet. Paul followed the word. This bride... In Revelation 22, won't read it because I'm closing. Bible says to me, don't add to the word and don't take away. That's what he says. Revelation 22:18. He said, don't add to it and don't take away. Just follow it. Just stay with what God's given us. God gives us the word. We don't figure this out. We don't make it happen. All we do is hear God speak to us and put it to work in our lives. That's all we do. That's all we do. And it's not even you, because God does it through you. When you put the word in you, God's word starts living out through you.
Right.
To be polite, it's not you said, okay, all right, I got to be polite. I got to say, God bless you to Brother John. I need to do this because that's godly. That's not it. Glad to see my brother. God bless you, brother. Want to do something nice for the neighborhood. Want to do something nice for your friends. Want to do something nice for your family. Want to be, and it's not just being nice, it's just being like Christ. He gave. Some people are so tight. I know Christ ain't in there. Because they're evidence. All he did was give. And when you get the new birth, you get the Holy Ghost, you will give. You will. I know you will. Because your very nature will be to give. He said, don't add to, don't take away, don't do any of that. Just take it as it is. I'm doing the work. And when I do the work, then nobody else can do it. Nobody else needs to do it. And he makes it so easy because he does it himself. I was trying to find that one little quote I had. No, it's not I. It's Christ that liveth in me. He is he that does the work. You want to live a Christian life? Get Christ in there. If you're struggling trying to live a Christian life, get born again. I have no trouble being Nate.
Amen.
Because that's all that's in here. So if you want to be Christ-like, just get Christ in there. That's what Christ-like is being like Christ. And if you see what he did, you'll be able to see what you could do. Because as he gave, you'll give. He gave his very life, and you'll give your very life. Because it's him giving it through you. He wants you to let him have it. But in order for you to do it, you need to stay with the Word of God. That's the greatest thing you can do. Stay with the Word of God. I don't care who's up here. I don't care who's preaching. I don't care what they're saying. Just listen for the Word, because the Word is where God is. Not the person, the Word. And when that Word comes forth, you'll find him. You will find him in his Word. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this morning to be able to come and share a little bit of your Word. And Lord, I'm talking to believers here. And they're standing on your promises. They're standing on your Word, knowing that, Lord, you will see it through. If you said it, you'll do it. And you've given us enough promises, and you've given us enough revelation to know exactly what it is that we need to do. And when we don't do it, Lord, you'll give us more Word, and we'll turn quickly to it, because that's who we are. Ask you to help this little bride to press and be sincere, really looking to you, not trying to put something on. But let us be real with ourselves, knowing that you've got total preeminence in our lives. And Lord, as your Word moves, we'll move with the Word. As it moved down through the ages, we move with that Word. Help us, Father. Be with those that are away and those that are sick. And Father, bring us back this evening with a desire and a willingness to be a part of the body of Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. Don't forget service tonight at 7. Yeah.
That was a beautiful message, Brother Moore. Amen. Love that. But it got me to thinking about all the healings that have come forth. Because my son-in-law, his father-in-law, was in the hospital. He had heart surgery. And, you know, praying for him. Julie had a prayer cloth, and I told her, I said, hey, just go ahead and give that prayer cloth to him. You know, it doesn't matter who the prayer's for on the prayer cloth. You know, if they can only believe. But anyway, he went in, he had his surgery, and he actually coded on the operating table. And he died. And so they had to use the paddles to bring him back. But he came back to life. And he's such a testimony within himself as to what God can do. Because this man, he was on the ventilator, as your son was on the ventilator. He was on the ventilator for 5 days. Well, they say that for every day you're on the ventilator, it's going to take you 5 weeks to recover from the ventilator.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was in Kentucky yesterday and saw him. He looks really good. Mm-hmm. I want to give God praise for his health. But then, you know, not just him. There was my uncle. His mother-in-law had pancreatic cancer. You know, people usually don't get healed from pancreatic cancer. She's been healed from pancreatic cancer. Saw to it that she had received a prayer cloth, too. You know, Bonnie, those prayers that we pray on those prayer cloths, those mean something.
Oh, yeah.
Those are real.
That's right.
But, you know, I was on my way home, and I was listening to this song, and I thought, oh, this song is so beautiful. It was talking about the rain. You know how we thank God for the rain. I'm like, oh, Lord, thank you for the rain. Mm-hmm. And then how we thank God for the sunshine. It's like, oh, Lord, thank you for the sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want to thank God for everything that he does for me.
Amen.
Because he gives me strength every day. You know, this morning I got up. I felt really, really bad this morning. I told Stephen, I said, you know, I think I'm just going to rest. I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my body was just wore out.
Right.
Well, I laid there as it got closer to time for church. I'm like, I'm not doing this. I jumped out of the bed, and I said, honey, have I got time to get ready? And he's like, yeah. So I grabbed my clothes, got in my clothes.
Amen.
I feel great.
Amen.
I want to thank God for that. Amen. My wrist is feeling better, so I want to thank you for that.
Amen.
We serve a great,
God.
He heals us every day.
Yes, he does.
Mentally,
yes, he does.
Physically, emotionally.
All the way around.
I praise him for that.
Amen.
Hey, I just want to thank God for being here today.
Amen.
I just want to thank God for this word. You know, it's everything to me.
Mm-hmm.
To understand this word, it's everything. It's rare. It's not out there.
No, it's not.
And, you know, I just thank God because he's been good. He's always been here. And I just praise him for that.
Amen.
Amen.
Give him praise.
I love this word, and I'm not going nowhere.
Amen.
Until it's time to go.
That's right. Amen.
I just didn't want to leave today and not just thank God. You know, we were gone last week, and I'm thankful for live stream. And like you say, if you can be here, you need to be here. And we were listening to last Sunday, and at the end of service, you said God wanted to run around through Sister Christie, and I was like, you can't run around when you're listening from a car.
No, you can't.
And I was like, I want him to run around with you, Sister Christie, because that's God is here.
Right.
And I'm just thankful and just appreciate this word, and I believe it with all my heart. I just wanted to stand up here and say that. And, you know, you said something last week, Brother Moore. You talked about if you're painted into a corner, God can bust through a wall. And I'm just so thankful for that. Those things that God preaches to us. He thunders us. He talks to us. And
amen.
I've been here for 25 years, and God has talked to me for 25 years.
Yeah.
And whether you're 45 with Brother Deskins or however many years, I'm so glad why it thunders to the world. God is speaking to me.
That's
and
right.
I'm so glad for that. I'm so thankful.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Sorry. A couple of things that I wanted to say, but after I testified the first time, I saw Sister Michelle sit there, and I wanted to say, I had all these other things, but as soon as I saw Sister Michelle sit down, I'm like, there is nothing that I'm going to say that is going to trump what she needs to say.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I cannot articulate for some reason when I get up here, but please put A plus B and get to C, like Brother Adam used to tell us to do.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know my heart, and I believe this thing, and I know what God can do. So sometimes I don't make sense to myself, just know that. But so I definitely have faith. I've been praying. I've actually been talking to a friend of mine, and I didn't want to put it on the internet. You guys had prayed for her before, and she's the one that I had to go to court with. And when we went to court, God moved in that play. Oh my goodness. And she doesn't believe the word that I believe, but she knows God, and
right.
She loves God.
That's right.
And God loves her, and he's Amen. Touching her life. And we're going back to court this week, and I thought, you know, Sister Michelle was talking about saying those prayers, and I pray for them all the time. I know I don't have to bug pastor about all this life stuff that I go through, but I am going to bring it to the body. My friend needs help this week.
Amen.
And I want to give that to her. But Sister Judy was talking about pancreatic cancer, and people don't come back from that. I've heard that before. Well, my daughter's great aunt has just been diagnosed with that. She's such a sweet woman, and she loves God too. And I thought, you know, I prayed for her, of course, but mm-hmm. I want to send her a prayer cloth because God can heal.
Yes, He can.
I know these things. You know, my uncle, he's still in hospice, and the person that hurts the worst is my mom, and I want God to take that and give her peace and Amen. Stuff like that. I'm like, Mom, he does not have to die, and he just had a leg amputated. I said, God can move the dead. He can mm-hmm. put another That's leg right. on my uncle yes, if he wants to, and my uncle can walk right out of there. So I don't want him to see the grave. I want us to get the rapture and get out of here, yeah. but I do want to get her a prayer cloth.
Amen. Well, come on here and let's pray right now, and then we can take it back with you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, knowing that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've seen you move. We've seen how people have been touched by you. And Father, this cloth that's going forth here today represents the faith that's going from this body. But ask you, Lord, to move on behalf of the sister, touch her body so that she can have a testimony that, Lord, you are real. And she knows Michelle, she knows Renee, and she yes. knows how much that, Lord, she loves you through her and doesn't even understand the reasons behind it. But as she receives this cloth, ask you to just let it be a blessing and a healing caveat to her that, Lord, when she sees it, she can have faith in what you are doing in her body. Thank you for everything, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Come on, sis.
Yes, Lord.
Like Brother Lockett put on my heart, I want to say sorry to the body for any playing and games that was brought during the word.
Mm-hmm.
That hurt me, and I did not like that.
Right.
The extra, it should be the word.
Amen.
And that's what I come here for.
Oh, yes.
That's what we need to live and heal, and it's that important to
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
I appreciate being here.
Amen. Amen. It's a serious hour. Amen. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where else can I go? Don't forget, come back tonight, 7. Amen. See what the Lord has in store for us. Living below in this soul simple world, hardly a comfort can afford. I'm striving temptation so tell me where could I go but to the Lord. Oh, tell me where could I go, oh where could I go when I'm seeking refuge for my soul.